Okay, today's daf is Arachin Daf Chaf Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Henry Orlinsky in Lezeichen Nishmas, his mother, Rachel Leah Bas Chaim Ashra Kohen Aleha Shalom. Her yard site is today on Hey Tammuz. In the Shemesh Rav Aliyah, we thank Henry Orlinsky very much for the sponsorship. His mother was a Holocaust survivor who built a really spectacular family in Klal Yisrael, both here in America and in Eretz Yisrael. And her neshama should have a special aliyah from our learning and from all of the learning that the Orlinsky family does and supports. Also, today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him again very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf. So we are holding at the very top of daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is going to discuss machlokas tanayim, how much time of hachraza yisomim and hegdish get, meaning we mentioned in the Mishnah that we need to be machriz when we sell karka of yisomim, when we sell karka of hegdish. So how much time do we have to spend being machriz that the land is for sale in order to get the best possible price for it? Then we're going to discuss a machlokas, when exactly it is that we sell karka v'yisomim in order to pay up the chovos that their father had generated. So it's not in all circumstances that we're just going to go and sell off the karka of yisomim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the halacha. What happens if you have a grusha whose husband then dies, whose ex-husband dies, and she has not yet been paid her ksuba? Do we collect that ksuba payment from the Yisomim as well? And then the Gemara is going to have a discussion. The real final discussion of the daf is going to be an analysis that why is it that in general we don't collect from Yisomim Ketanim to pay off the chovos of their father? So there are going to be two basic opinions: either because Prius Bal Chov is a mitzvah and Yasmi Lav B'nei Mavin Mitzvah Ninhu, they're not Chayev Min Mitzvahs, they're little kids, or because we're Choshesh that Tzrari Atvaseh, that maybe it has been paid off, maybe the father had given something to the other person as a mashkon, and the person is hanging on to that mashkon. I want to discuss the ramifications of that machlokas, meaning what that leads us to once we consider those two possibilities. Okay, so let's begin. We're holding at the very top of the page. So we're going to have a braisa where we have machlokas tanayim, how long we do hachraza for. So Tan Rabbanan, Shuma Yisomim, the amount of time we do hachraza on karka v'yisomim that's sold off in order to pay off a chov for their father is 30 yom, v'shuma hegdish 60 yom. But the amount of time we have to announce that hegdish land is for sale in order to generate the best price for hegdish, it's 60 days. Divrei Meir, that's Rav Meir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shuma yisomim 60 yom, v'shuma hegdish 90 yom. No, add 30 days to each shita, that it's to each category. That shuma yisomim is 60 days, shuma hegdish is 90 days. V'chamor mechazeh v'chazeh 60 yom. And the Chum say either way, either both by Yisomim and by Hegdish, it's going to be 60 days. So Amar Rav Chisam Ravimi, Halacha Shumei Yisomim, Shishim Yom. The Halacha is that Shumei Yisomim is in fact 60 days. Two out of the three opinions held that way, right? The first opinion, Rav Meir held, it's only 30 days, but Rabbi Yehuda held that it's 60 while Hegdish is 90, and then the Chama said they're both 60, so two out of three held that Shumei Yisomim is 60 days. So Yasser Rav Chia Baravin, who come in Lahashmaita, Baravin was saying this halacha about Shumei Yisom being 60 days. Amalei Rav Nachum Rizak L'Rabichia Baravin Shishim Kamrit. You said in the name of Chista that it's 60 days. Oh, Shloshim Kamrit. Or did you say 30 days? Meaning it could be that he wasn't sure what the halacha that he heard was. So Amalei Shishim. He said, I said 60 days that you're machriz. Then Rav Nachum Rizak asked Vayter, as far as what Shuma are you talking about? The Yisomim or the Hegdish? I heard that you said that some shuma has to be for some amount of time. So the first thing I didn't know about was what the amount of time was. Did you say 30 days? Did you say 60 days? And the answer was 60 days. Second thing I didn't know about is what kind of shuma are you talking about? You're talking about Yisomim or are you talking about Hegdish? So I'm like, do Yisomim? Karabi Meir or Karabi Yuda? So he said, okay, but there were two different shitos that held that shuma Yisomim is 60 days. Do you intend to paskin like Rabbi Meir or like Rabbi Yehuda? So Amalei, so he said, Rabbi Meir, I intend to paskin like Rabbi Meir. L'chora, this is very difficult. How could it be Ola al das that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir is one that said beferish that Shum HaYisomim is 30 days and not 60 days. So the Ola Shlomo says that really Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak was asking Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin all of this as one big shaila, whether he was talking about Yisomim and therefore paskening like Rabbi Yehuda, or he was talking about Hegdish and therefore paskening like Rabbi Meir. And he said, no, I'm talking about Yisomim and paskening like Rabbi Meir. And that's where he asks him, but wait, you got Rabbi Meir wrong. Rabbi Meir actually says 30 days. It's just that the Mesadr of the Gemara put it as different shailas, because he knew that that it could be Rabbi Meir would also have some case where 60 days is going to be relevant for Yisomim as well. So anyway, so he said, I'm passing like Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir Shloshim Kamar. So he challenged him. What do you mean? Rabbi Meir didn't say 60. Rabbi Meir said 30 days. So how can you say passing like Rabbi Meir when you say 60 days? So Hachi Amar Rav Chista, Hachi Amar Rav Chista, where am I? Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Rav Chista, me Avimi Kulfi Tavi Bali Alada Hashmaita. That Avimi used to really beat me up over this sugya. He taught me that Shema Yisomim according to Rav Meir is 60 days. And I would ask him, what are you talking about? There's a brisa that says that the Shema Yisomim is only 30 days. And he said, no, you have to understand there are two different types of hachraza. Bala hachraz ritzufim shloshim. If you're going to be machraz consecutive days, one right after the other, then it's 30 days. But b'sheni b'chamishi, if you're not going to be machraz each and every day, you're only going to be machraz on Mondays and Thursdays, which are days of the shuk, days where most people are out, so days where batei dinim are yoshev to be ladun, so that's a day where if you really want to get word out, your best chances are on Monday and Thursday. I don't know if that counts as daf yomi coincidence because it's Monday's daf over here, but you're not announcing it every single day of the week, then shishim, then you're going to need 60 days. Obviously, the achronim point out that the math doesn't work out, meaning 2 days a week for 60 days is not the same as every single day for 30 days, and that's even if you hold, like we discussed yesterday, that they don't make these hachrazos on Shabbos. So even though the math doesn't work out, but again, like we said, Mondays and Thursdays have particular potency in terms of getting word out, so maybe that makes up for the discrepancy. Furthermore, just having it over a longer period of time probably makes up for some of the discrepancy, because it's not, you know, if I were to announce something, let's say 100 times in the next hour, it's not going to get the word out as much as if I take out an advertisement that goes up once a day, every day, for the next 10 days even though it's only 10, you know, 10 is a lot less than 100, but the amount of time that it's spread out over will have a major impact as well. So he said if it's going to be Monday and Thursday, it's going to be 60 days. And even the Gemara itself says, even though it's only going to be 18 days when you count out the days of Achraza, if you're only going to do Monday and Thursday for 60 days, even the Mashcha Milsa Shami Inshi, when things are spread out, people will ultimately hear about it. So the Gemara itself makes that point. So the Rambam writes in Perush HaMishnayos that for the benefit of the Yisomim, it's better to announce about the Karka for 60 days on Monday and Thursday than to announce it for 30 straight days, because since there's that Hemshech Hazman, it will actually create a greater Hachraza. Meaning the Rambam learns that line is not just a statement of the obvious, that an expression of that an extension of the amount of days, if you spread it out, is going to be more impactful than packing it all in together in a shorter period of time, but that it's not an equivalency over here, that it's actually a much greater Hachraza when you do Monday and Thursday for 60 days than if you do 30 times over 30 days. So it's not just that it's an equivalency, it's actually a greater Hachraza. Okay, our Mishnah said that there are certain cases where we sell Karka Shel Yisomim in order to pay off their father's Chovos. So the Gemara Gemara brings a machlokas. When exactly do we do that? Some of Yudam Ravasi, ain't this kaken linichse yisabim elim kenoisa ribis ochelas behen. We're not going to pay off. We're not going to take away the nechasim of yisabim ketanim in order to pay off their father's debts, unless there is ribis eating away at the chov. Because the longer we go without paying it off, the greater the debt is going to become. Rabbi Yochanan Amar olishtar sheish bo ribis oluksubus isha mishum zone. That there are actually two cases where we're going to sell off the Yisomim's property. If in the case number one is the case that we just said, where there's ribis or chelas ben that Rav Yudam Ravasi said, and case number two is if it's to pay off a ksubas isha, because the deal in a woman's ksuba is that kol's man, her ksuba has not been paid off and her husband is dead, the estate is going to pay for her mizonos. So that's like a ribis case in that it's eating away at her estate. Ravasi my time alam or ksubas isha. Why did Ravasi not include that as a situation where we're going to sell off the Yisomim's property? After all, it is eating away at the estate. So the Gemara answers that Takina le Rabbanan Maisi Adeha, because even though the estate has to give her the mizonos, she has to give up something in return. She gives back Maisi Adayim, so it's not eating away at the estate necessarily. It could be that it's an even swap. The Idach and Rabbi Yochanan would respond Zimnin de lo Sapka. It could be that it's not an even swap. Sometimes her Maisi Adayim is very, very little, and her mizonos is much, much more. So because it may not be an even swap, that's why it could be eating away at the estate that the Yisomim are entitled to, that the Yisomim own. So the Gemara now asks in Ravasi from a series of Mishnayos, where from all of them it seems to be that you collect from Yisomim for Ksubas Isha. Again, Ravasi is the one that said that you don't collect for Ksubas Isha, that you only collect when it's Ribis Ochelas Behen. We're going to have a series of Mishnayos that strongly imply that you do collect even for Ksubas Isha because of the mizonos that they owe her. So Tanan, first we have our Mishnah, the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph and Beis. Shuma Yisom Shloshim Yom, Shuma Hegdish Shishim Yom Achrizin Baboker Be'erev. So he said we assess the Yisom's property by announcing it for 30 days, and Hegdish by announcing it for 60 days, and we make an announcement every morning, every evening. So B'mayaskinan, what exactly is the case where we're collecting from Yisomim? Ilema bebal chov ovid chavim. Who did the father owe money to? If the father owed money to a non-Jew, mitzayis, the father's going to listen to us. The non-Jew is going to listen to us not to collect ribis during these days where we're busy announcing so we can get the best price. Obviously, he's not going to listen. His ribis is still going to go on. If that's the case, why would we do any hachraza? Yeah, it's possible we'll get a better price by leaving it on the market for some time. You know what else is possible? That we won't get a better price. But you know what I know for sure? That during the time that we're busy running around announcing it, ribis is eating away at the Yisomim's possession. So it wouldn't make any sense on account of ribis. It wouldn't make any sense that we would delay paying back this balchov if it were a non-Jew. Elipshita balchov Yisrael. So it has to be we're talking about that the money is owed to a Jew. Well then, idaka achil ribisa. If he's taking ribis from the Yisomim, and that's why we want to pay him back and take the property of the Yisomim and sell it, well, Mishav Kinalei, we're going to let this guy collect ribis, meaning it's an Issa Dal Raisa to collect ribis, and there's no way we would allow that to go on. It sounds that if we would leave him to collect ribis, the Mishnah would be self-understood. Problem with that is that over here it's also, we could ask the same kasha the Gemara said before, meaning the Gemara makes it sound like, oh, once we make it a Yisrael, so the only problem is that it's usher for him to collect ribis. So the Achronim raised the kasha on the Gemara that no, even if it was Yisrael and we allowed him to collect ribis, then we just have the same kasha we had by the Ovid Kochavim, that if he's collecting ribis, then how do we delay at all? How do we even give it the 30 or 60 days? So you have to say is that Yisrael, we assume, if there were such a situation that he was allowed to collect ribis, at least he would be more understanding about giving the 30 or 60 day reprieve in order to get the best price. But bottom line is, he's not allowed to collect ribis, so it can't be that it's talking about a Yisrael either. Vela deloka achel ribisa. It must be that there is no ribis going on, and nevertheless, for katani in this kaken, and still the Mishnah tells me that we're selling the Yisomim's property. What in the world are we selling the Yisomim's property for if there's no ribis just eating away at it. So Bishlam and Rabbi Yochanan, I understand according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that we would sell it for Ksubasisha, Mukhi Lab Ksubasisha. He'll say that our Mishnah saw a better case of Ksubasisha. El Ravasi, Kasha, but according to Ravasi, that we do not sell Yisomim's property for Ksubasisha. What in the world is the case in our Mishnah where we're selling Yisomim's property? Samalach Ravasi, Rabbi Yochanan Minicha. So Ravasi says, and you think according to Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah makes perfect sense? If the Mishnah saw about Ksubasisha, why are we selling the karka by doing a hachraza and not selling it right away? Mishav kinan mezone devade kamafsida v'naktinan hachraza d'loyadinan im rav achinan nilom rav chinan. Would we risk that to delay for 30 days, 60 days in order to get a better price, knowing that mezonos is something she eats each and every day? So mezonos is something that they're going to have to be paying out each and every day. Why do we delay at all? Says Mara Holo Kasha. That's not really such a kasha. B'tovas k'subasa b'bezin. We must be talking about a case where the woman has already demanded her ksuba payment in Beis Din. And once she does that, while Beis Din is getting their affairs in order, she is not entitled to mezonos. The Baal is chayev to give her mezonos after he dies, only when she remains an almana based on his kavod. That's the lashon of the ksuba. That ate yasva beisi umitzin aminichsi kol yimei megar almanusayich. That she should be in izonis from his nechasim when she is living like an almana. Not when she's looking to marry someone else. Not when she's looking to be independent. So if she's already demanded her ksuba payment, that's when she loses the rights to ask for mizonos anymore. And therefore, Bezin can take their time to get the best price for the Yisomim's property, because it's not going to cost the Yisomim anything. Well, if we're talking about a case where she was Tovei the Ksuba and she's not entitled to any Mezonos, so then the Yisomim aren't really going to lose anything by delaying as long as we want. So we really shouldn't have to sell the Yisomim's property at all, because they don't have to provide her with Mezonos anyway. So we should wait till the Yisomim get older and let them pay up. Why do we have to do anything? No, since initially when she was Tovei the Ksuba, we listened to her Tavia, so that to the extent that we made her lose her Mezonos for that, and the Yisomim are going to benefit from that, so therefore we're Nizkakin La even afterwards when she already lost her Mezonos to actually collect her Ksuba. Meaning if the whole reason she lost out on the Mezonos was because she demanded her Ksuba, we're going to see to it that she's going to get her Ksuba. She's not going to have to wait till they become Bar Mitzvah for her to get her ksuba. So we're going to see to it that she'll be able to collect her ksuba. We're just going to take a little bit of time to make sure that we get the best possible price on behalf of the Yisomim. Good. So now we go to express the kasha on Ravasi. That mikol makom Ravasi kasha. Meaning now we explained why it's not a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, but it's still a kasha on Ravasi. Meaning that's how we started by quoting this Mishnah. How's Ravasi going to explain the Mishnah if the only way we would ever sell off Yisomim's property is when ribis ocheles behem, and the only way you could ever have ribis in a loan is that there's an Oved Kochavim that was the lender, and the Oved Kochavim is not going to agree to wait out the days of Achraza. He's going to charge the ribis the entire time. So how can we do days of Achraza? So says Mar Liolam Balchov Oved Kochavim Shekibel of Ladin B'dinei Yisrael. Oh, we must be talking about where the Balchov is a non-Jew, but he's accepted to follow the Dinei Yisrael, and therefore, so long as we're doing the hachraza, he's not going to be charging ribis. And that's like the Dinei Yisrael. So, ihachi ribis nami lo lishkol. Well, if he's really following the Dinei Yisrael, then he shouldn't take ribis at all until the Yisomim grow up and he's able to take the chov from them. So, and there wouldn't be any loss to the Yisomim at all, and we wouldn't need to sell the Yisomim's property. So, says Mara, well, shekibel olav lazu, velo kibel olav lazu. He's happy to say that I'm not going to take ribis for the days of hachraza, the amount of time that it takes to get the best possible price for the property. He's not an animal. He's not going to be. He's not such a chazer. But he doesn't want to follow the Dinei Yisrael, not to take ribis at all. That's really standard business practice to be able to take ribis. So that far, he's not going to go. And that's why it is urgent that we do sell the property of the Yisalmim. But he's giving us this reprieve, he's giving us this 30 to 60 day time period. So Tashema says, where we'll bring another raya. The Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. Ein ifran minichse Yisalmim ela min haziburis. You can only collect from ziburis property of Yisalmim in order to pay up the debts. Well, b'may askinan. What's the case exactly? Ilim balchov avit chavim. If we're talking about a balchov who's a non-Jew, mitzais, he's going to take Ziburis? Why would he listen to that? El Pshita Balchov Yisrael. It must be talking about a Jewish Balchov. Well, Iachel Ribisa Mishav Kinalei. What do you mean, a Jewish Balchov? There's Ribis eating away at the property where we have to sell you someone's property? That would never happen. A Jewish Balchov is not allowed to charge Ribis. El Deloachel Ribisa. It must be that there is no Ribis, and nevertheless, Vekatani in this Kakin, it still says we're selling you someone's property. Why in the world would we be selling someone's property if there's no Ribis that's running up to tab? So Bishlam and Rabbi Yochanan, I understand very well according to Rabbi Yochanan that we would sell Yisomim's property even for a ksubasisha because of the mizonos that's running up the tab. So mukilub ksubasisha. So you could say that that's the case. We're talking about ksubasisha. El Ravasi kasha, but according to Ravasi, the ksubasisha is not something that we would sell Yisomim's property for. So what exactly is the case where they owe somebody money because ribis is running up the tab, and nevertheless we're going to sell Yisomim's property and be able to pay off with the ziburis of the Yisomim's property. So Amalach HaRavasi, Rabbi Yochanan Minicha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you think it works out so well, just because Rabbi Yochanan is willing to sell their property to pay off Ksubas Isha, Iksuba, Mayiri Miyasmi, Afilu Minedi Deinami Biziburis. After all, Ksubas Isha, you wouldn't need this special halacha that since it's Yisomim, we're only going to collect from their ziburis. But Ksubas Isha, it's not a special halacha. Ksubas Isha, no matter who a woman is collecting a ksuba from, it's always from a ziburis. A woman never collects from the beininess. So you wouldn't need it to be a somim. That's me ikra din. The reason the chum were not masakin that she collects from the beininess like they were by a regular balchov, the Gemara in Gittin explains in Daf Mem Tes, because of the chazaka that we have that's built into the bria, that more than a man wants to marry, an isha wants to marry, a woman wants to marry. So even if she knows she's only going to be getting such a bad deal that she'll only be able to collect a ksuba from ziburis, she'll still be interested in getting married. It's not going to prevent her from wanting to get married. That's part of the chazakah of Tav L'Mesav Tandu, Min L'Mesav Armelu, that a woman is always happy to be married, and she'll even marry beneath herself in order to get married. That was one of those chazakos that Rav Salvechik gave a famous drasha once to the rabbinic alumni Yeshiva University about how that chazakah is absolutely set in stone, and it's not based on social realities as we know them. Meaning a person can't say, well, you know, with feminism and you look at an independent woman and she very often is happy to be alone and happy to be on her own and she would never marry beneath her station in the 21st century, or Salvechik talking in the 20th century. So we can't say that. This is built into the Bria. It's a psychological reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the human condition, that marriage is something that a woman is much more motivated to do. That's why little girls, when they're very young, start playing bride. You never see little boys playing groom. That's not what they dream about. They dream about astronauts and policemen or whatever, being Kovesh HaSa'olam, whereas little girls dream about being a bride. We once asked Rav Schachter whether that's true, that none of the chazakos of Chazal changed. It seems that there are a lot of other chazakos that do change. There's a famous discussion of the Chazanish. Is it true that a person is, the Gemara B'Metzia says, that a person is mashmish b'kiso b'kol sha'a, that if a person lost cash, then he probably knows about it already. So because he's always feeling in his pocket for money. He always knows exactly how much money he has in his pocket. So it doesn't seem that's true anymore. Meaning, for example, right now I have no idea how much money I have in my pocket. I know it's not a terribly large amount, but I have no idea how much money I have in my pocket. So Rav Schachter pointed out that Rav Salvechik did not mean that none of the chazakas of Chazal could change based on reality. What he meant is a chazaka that Chazal have that was built into the bria, that Elishech Shukaseich, that a woman is going to desire a husband, that's built into the bria Kriya, that's in Sheshes Yimei HaMa'ase. That never changes. But simple observations that Chazal made about their time, that certainly that observation can change as time changes. But anyway, so Ksubas Isha generally is only from Zipurus anyway. So if we're talking about Ksubas Isha, it doesn't make any sense to highlight that it's only being collected from Zipurus because it's from Yisomim. Even if it's not from Yisomim, it would only be from Zipurus. Says Mara Holo Kasha. That's not really a Kasha, because Rameir, maybe we're assuming like Rameir, Damar Ksubas Isha Bebeinus, Umiyasmi, but when you're collecting from Yisomim, Bezipurus. Maybe we're assuming like Shita Rameir, that the default position is that Ksubas Isha actually does collect from Beinus and not from Zipurus. It's only when you're collecting from Yisomim that it comes from Zipurus. But Mikol Makom Ravasi Kasha, but the bottom line is, this is still a Kasha and Ravasi. According to Ravasi, you only take away the Chasim of Yisomim Ketanim when there's Ribis Ocheles Behem. So how do you have such a case of Ribis Ocheles Behem if it's a Jewish Balchov? So the Olam Balchov of Chavim. It must be it's a non-Jewish Balchov. Why then is he going to be willing or to agree to take only Zipuris? Shekibel Lavladun B'dinei Yisrael. He accepted to follow the Dinei Yisrael. Ihachi Ribis Nami Lo Lishkol. Well, if he's willing to accept the Dinei Yisrael, he shouldn't take any Ribis, and we shouldn't have to sell the property of Yisrael to begin with, or we shouldn't have to give him the property of Yisrael to begin with. Shekibel Lazu V'lo Kibel Olav Lazu. It must be that he accepted to follow the Dinei Yisrael as far as collecting from Zipuris, but he did not. He was not willing to be Mekabel the Dinei Yisrael as far as Ribis is concerned. He does want to get his Ribis. Tashma, a third and final Raya, to Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Asi, that we do collect from Yisomim Ketanim to pay off Ksubas Isha, not like Rav Asi, who says that we only collect from Yisomim Ketanim when there's Ribis Ocheles Behem. The Brisa had said that when we announce about the Kark of Yisomim that's being put for sale, so it's Almanas Liten Leisha Ksubasa Ubal Chov Chovo. The Brisa says that we announce what it's being sold for. It's being sold to pay off a Ksubas Isha or to pay off a Bal Chov. So you see, it is explicit in the Brisa that one of the possibilities of why we're selling it off is to pay off Ksubas Isha. So Bishlam Balchov Bein Mar Kiddushanin. Balchov, you'll have to say, it makes sense that we're selling it off. Everyone agrees that you could do that because it's an Ovid Chavim and there's Ribis Ocheles Behem. Why then is the Ovid Chavim not going to demand payment immediately? No, he agreed to play ball with us a little bit. He agreed to wait the 30 days, the 60 days that it takes. Ela Ksubasa Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, but as far as to pay off a Ksuba, I understand very well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we sell off Yisomim's property in order to pay off a Ksuba Nicha. El Ravasi Kasha, but according to Ravasi, when would that ever happen? So it says, Mer HaChamei Eskinan Kishachayiv Modeh. The Brisa is talking about when the father, the Lova, admitted at the time of his death that he did not leave any money with his wife to collect her Ksuba. So since we know for sure that there is this Chov that is Mutal on the Yisomim, there's no reason to wait until they get older. See, the whole reason we would normally wait until the Yisomim get older is that maybe there's some explanation and maybe they don't really owe the money. Maybe we're wrong about this and they don't really owe the money. So if we know that right before he died, the Lova had announced, or the husband in this case, had announced and had made it very clear that he does owe the money, then there's no sense in waiting until they get older. Now that we said that, that we're talking about a case where he was Moda before he died, so all the Mishnayos that we asked from could simply be, we could simply be Miyashiv them, that the Lova was Moda, that the Chov was not Perua, and it could be even talking about, in each case we said it was talking about a Bal Chov Ovid Chavim, because there must be Ribis Ocheles Behem if we're willing to sell the or confiscate the property of Yisomim. Well, once we have this notion of Chayiv Moda, once we have this idea that the Chayiv is Moda, so then and you wouldn't even need Ribis to be Ocheles Behem. You would take away, we would confiscate the property of Yisomim anyway, so then that could be the simple Ukimta of all three of the cases that we challenged Ravasi from. Okay, now the Gemara discusses a new case. Mareimar Agiksuba Lagrusha that a case was a woman got divorced, a man and wife got divorced, then the man died before she collected her ksuba. So Mareimar allowed that to be collected from the Yisomim as well. Similarly, Ravina Lameimar, Ravina said to Mareimar, why? Didn't Rav Asi say that only if there's ribis? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, all the shtar sheyesh bo ribis al ksubas isha mishamizone. Well, that will even take away from Yisomim if it's to pay back a Ksubas Isha. Kedusha, but that's only on account of the mizonos, that until the woman gets paid back her ksuba, you're going to have to give her mizonos. Even Rabbi Yochanan only said that we're govim minichsei yisom katanim to pay off the ksuba by an almana, where she's going to be losing mizonos. Avla grusha lo, but the grusha doesn't have rights to any mizonos anyway, so why don't we just wait until these Yisomim get older? Why are we collecting from them at all? So Amalei, so Amemar responds to Ravina, Ha'anand Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Chinam Asinullah. Now, we understood Rabbi Yochanan, the reason that they pay, that they take away the property of the Yisomim to pay off Ksubas Isha, is because of Chain, that men should find Chain in the eyes of women, and in that women will want to get married. If women know that they'll always be able to collect their Ksuba, even if their husband dies, and the Yisomim Ketanim are going to be left, and they're not going to have to wait till these some become gedolim, they're going to be more willing to get married. And that reason applies to Grusha as well. So therefore, even though she was a Grusha, we're still going to collect her ksuba. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the discussion of collecting chov from nichsei yisomim ketanim. Amar Rav Nachman, reisha lav mizdakikna l'nichsei yasmi. Originally, I would not collect from the nechasim of yisomim to pay off their father's debts, but given the once I heard what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, Yasmi da achli dlo de tu, the Yisomim that eat peros of karka that doesn't belong to them, lizlu basar shivkahu, their punishment is that they're going to end up just like the person who left them that money, meaning they're going to die as well. Mikan velech mizdakikna. So once I heard that, I decided I'm going to collect from the nichsei Yisomim in order that they shouldn't be taking money that doesn't belong to them. So meikara my time alone, meikara originally, before he heard this from Rav, why wasn't Rav Nachman Gove from Yisom Ketanim to pay off the chovos of the father? Rav Papa, because two possibilities. Rav Papa says one, Priyas Balchov mitzvah. V'yasmi lav b'nei mav mitzvah ninhu. That paying off a chov is a mitzvah, and Yisomim are not chayiv in mitzvos, and therefore they don't have to pay off the chov of their father. Rav Huna b'Rav Shua amar, Eimar tzori atvesei. No, it's because of a concern that maybe the lova gave the malva silver or gold as a mashkon for the chov, and he never got it back from him, and he died without ever taking the shtar back. So the malva is going to just pocket that silver or gold. He'll pull out the shtar and claim that the yisomim owe money. So Bezin is not going to be willing to take away from yisomim. So my binai, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Whether it's because of priyas balchov mitzvah, or whether it's because of a chashash of tzori atvasei, ikar binai hu b'shechayiv moda. Nafkamina would be if the lover was moda right before he died, that he never gave any gold or silver or anything, and that he still owes the money. So there's still the Yisomim are not chayiv in the mitzvah of Priyas Balchov, but as far as the other issue is concerned, as far as the issue of tzori atvasei, you don't have to be choshish for that. Inami shamtua umes b'shamte, or it could be that the lova didn't want to pay when he was alive, and Bezin put him in a nidui for his refusal to pay, and he died while he was still menuta. So in that case, also it's obvious to us that he didn't pay it while he was alive. That's what happened. You know, nidui is like a curse that a person should die, and it worked. The guy died, right? So there was this nidui that was going on because he refused to pay, so there's no way that he actually had paid. So says Mar Shalchu Mitam. So they sent from Eretz Yisrael that in all the places that we mentioned that we collect from Nichse Yisomim is the Shamtua Umes B'Shamte. It's a case where we were menade him to pay his chov, and he died while he was still benidui. So that's why we know the chov was not paid, and that's why we're collecting from Yisomim Ketanim V'Hilchsak Rafuna Ber Yevshua. And the Halach is like Rafuna Ber Yevshua, that the reason that we don't collect from Yisom Ketanim generally is because of the chashash of tzori atvasei, that maybe it was paid back, and therefore, if we know for sure that it wasn't paid back during the father's lifetime, Eino Chinami, we will collect from the Nechse Yisomim. Okay, so the Gemara asks on the Shita of Rav Papa from our Mishnah. Tana, and it said in our Mishnah, Shuma Yisom Shalshim Yom Shuma Hegdish, Shishim Yom Machriz Babakur Be'erev, that in order to get the best price, we announced for 30 days about selling the Yisomim's property, and for 60 days about selling Hegdish's property. We do it every morning and every evening. So, b'mayaskinan, what case are we talking about? What chov did the Yisomim have that we're selling their karka to pay off that chov? Why can't we just wait till they become bar mitzvah? Ilim bal chov over chavim, if we're talking about they owe money to a non-Jew, and therefore there's ribbis, well, mitzvah is the non-Jew is going to wait the 30 to 60 days and not continue to charge ribbis, we would have to pay that out right away. Elipshita bebalchov Yisrael. It must be that it's talking about a Jew. Well, Bishlam the Rafuna Breda of Yeshua, Mukila Kishachayev Moda. According to Rafuna Breda Yeshua, that works very well. If we're talking about a case where the lover was Moda before he died, that it was not paid up. El Rav Papa, Kasha, but according to Rav Papa, you still wouldn't collect from Katanim, even though you know that it wasn't paid up, because Prius Balchov is a mitzvah. So what's the case where we're going to be collecting from Katanim? So Amlachar Rav Papa, Iba Yisema, Ksuba Mishumchina. Maybe it's Dafka to pay off a Ksuba because of the concern of Chain, that we want to make sure a woman has the ability to get paid her Ksuba. So while it's true that generally speaking, we're not going to collect from Yisam Katanim because Prius Balchov mitzvah, and we wouldn't make them do a mitzvah, they're not Pnei Mavin mitzvah, but there is a counter concern that as a general for the health of Jewish marriage, of the institution of marriage, we want women to be interested in getting married and to know that they'll feel secure and that they'll be taken care of. And in order to do that, they have to know that they'll be able to collect their ksuba, and that's why they're able to collect even from Yisam Ketanim. Or we're talking about a Baal Chov who's an Ovid Chavim, and therefore there is going to be ribbis issues, but we don't have to pay it right away because he's Mekabel, not to charge ribbis because he's following Dinei Yisrael. Well, if he's agreed not to charge ribbis, let him not charge ribbis until they become bar mitzvah, and let's wait till then. He was willing to not charge ribbis for 30 days till we can make the announcements, but he's not willing to not charge ribbis forever. Tashma, so the Gemara asks Rav Papa from a brisa that we had already mentioned. The brisa had said that we're going to announce about the properties of Yisomim being for sale in order that the woman should get her ksuba and the Balchov can get what he's owed. So, b'mayaskinan, what exactly is the case the Bryce is talking about, that we sell karka of Yisomim Ketanim? Ilim Balchov Ovid Chavim, if we're talking about a Balchov who's a non-Jew, mitzayis, is he going to listen? He's going to wait until we do our hachraza? El pshita b'balchov Yisrael. Obviously, we're talking about a Balchov who is a Jew, but then, how can we collect from Ketanim? Bishlam the Rafuna Brei of Yeshua, Mukla B'Shchayv Moda. According to Rafuna Brei of Yeshua, I understand how you can collect from Ketanim, because we know that this Chov is still owed. We know that there was no Tzari Atfasi El Rav Papa, but according to Rav Papa, Bishlam Ksuba Mishamchina, I understand very well Ksuba, that's mentioned in the Braisa, is you're going to collect because of the Chain of the woman, El Balchov Kasha, but why would you ever collect for a Balchov from Yisomim Ketanim? Even if you do know that the money is still owed, Prius Balchov is a mitzvah. So the Elim Balchov it's talking about a Balchov who's a non-Jew. Going shekibel avladim b'dinei Yisrael, and he accepted to follow Dinei Yisrael. Ikibel avladim t'luhu adigadli. Well, if he accepted to follow Dinei Yisrael, why can't he wait until they become bar mitzvah? Shekibel avlazo v'lo kibel avlav lazo, because he accepted to follow Dinei Yisrael for the short term, but not for the long term. And he's not going to charge ribbis for a little while, but eventually he's going to charge ribbis. So essentially, what we've had so far is we've had two machlokas in this daf. Machlokas number one is, do we take away property of Yisomim to pay off Ksubas Isha, or only to pay off a chov that ribis ocheles behen? And we had three rayas. We brought three rayas and we answered all three rayas. Now we're in the middle of a second machlokas, where the machlokas revolves around why it is that in general that the default position is that we do not confiscate property of Yisomim. Is it because we're concerned that maybe it's already been paid up, or is it because Prius Balchov is a mitzvah? And we're bringing all of the same rayas and giving many of the same answers. So we had said two different svaros why we don't collect from Nichsei Som Ketanim. Right? So Rava says the reason we don't collect is a third svara. It's not because of concern that it's been paid up, nor because of a concern of a Prius Balchov mitzvah and Ketanim Lav B'nei Mav Mitzvah Ninhu, but rather Mishum Shovar, that the reason we don't collect from Ketanim is we're choshesh that maybe the lover already paid back the malva, and the malva already wrote a shovar, and the Yisom Ketanim don't know about shtaros, so they could be staring right at the shovar, right at the receipt, and they'll have no idea what they're looking at. So that's why we wait till they're gedolim, and they'll know how to interpret their father's documents. So it's not about that maybe the father gave a mashkon or something like that. No, we're concerned that maybe he actually paid up normally, and there was a shovar that was already written, there was a receipt that was already have you written? Samuel Rafuna Braid Ravishol the Ravas, Rafuna Bridges Rava, Umicha Shiun the Shova, are we concerned for such things? Vatnan, but doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Mesach Ksubas, Hanifra as Shalobafan of a woman who collects her ksuba when her husband's not around, meaning the husband sent to get me with Nida Sayam, and she wants to collect the ksuba from whatever properties he left here. Loti para el Bashua, she can only get paid when she takes a shvua that she hasn't already been paid. Vam Rabbi Yacha Sar Habira, and Rabbi Yacha Sar Habira said, Maisa Balifnei Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchala Antochia. A story came to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha in Antochia relating to collecting a chov where the person whose chayiv was not there. Va'amar lo shanu ela ksubasisha mishum china. And he said, that's only for ksubasisha and on account of chayin. Aval balchov, lo. But for a balchov, when the love is not there, you're not allowed to collect even with a shavua. You have to wait until the love himself returns. Rava amar av nachman afilu balchov nami. You can even collect for a balchov shalob b'fanav as long as you take a shvua. So Rav Huna Rabbi Yehoshua says, and here's my kasha. V'icha yashas l'shovar hasam nami nechosh, but if we're choshesh that there's a shovar, so shouldn't we be choshesh for a shovar why does Rav Nachman say that a balchov is allowed to collect with a shvua when the love is not there? Shouldn't we be choshesh that it might have been paid back and there is a shovar? So Amalei, Rava said to Rav Huna Rabbi Yehoshua, no, hasam k'tabrin etayma. Over there, the reason that the malva is gova shalob b'fnei alova is shalob yikalecha notal ma'osav shal chaver v'holich v'yoshev lo b'medina siyam. If you can't collect when the guy that owes you the money isn't there, then everyone who borrows money is just going to borrow money and run away, and you'll never be able to collect from them. So that we don't want the ability to avoid payment by just running away. So that's why you're allowed to collect when he's not there. So if Nachman holds that the malva can swear and get his money, but when the lova dies, you don't have to be choshish anytime someone borrows money, he's going to go and die on purpose so that he doesn't have to pay back. So that's why Rava holds that in such a case, we're choshish for a shovar, and the malva cannot be gova from the yisamim of the lova, even with a shvua. Amar Rava hilchsa in the skakin l'nechsei yisamim. The halacha is we cannot collect from yisamim because we're choshish that it was already paid up and a shovar was left. Amar, but if the lova says before he dies, tnu, that they should give from his nechasim to pay the chov of the malva, then it's kakin. Collect from the yisamim to collect. Then we do collect from the yisamim because he agreed, he admitted that it wasn't yet paid up. So Rava makes another chiluk. If the lova says to give to the malva sadazu, if he says to give this field umanazu, or he says to give this money niskakin, then the yisamim, we take that from the yisamim, that field or that mana. Vein mamid an apotropos, and we don't need an apotropos to figure out which of the yisamim's property is going to go to pay this off. But sadazu. But if he just says pay them a field or pay a mana, then it's niskakin. We do collect from the yisamim, but we also have to establish an apotropos. We need an apotropos to decide which of the yisamim's properties is going to go to pay it. Aminardai bekulu, in all the cases that we mentioned, whether he says mana v'sadastam or mana v'sadazu, niskakin u'mamidin apotropos. In all those cases, we establish an apotropos against Rava, who said that in the cases of mana zu and sada zu, we don't put an apotropos in place. Levad means nimtse sada she'in shalom, except for a case where edim are made about this field that it was stolen by the father. In that case, you don't need to be mamad an apotropos. You just take it away from them. If you have edim that the father had stolen it, so we're not going to assume that those edim are lying. Edim is the best form of evidence. We know that the father had stolen it, so you don't need an apotropos. You know that you can take this property away from them. Amar Vashi Hilkach is Dakuke Lomas Dakinan. We're not Niskakin Lenichse Sam to collect the Chov of their father. The Amar Rava Hilchsa Ein Niskakin. The halach is we do not collect from the Sam. Vim is Dakinan. And in the case where we are Niskakin Lenichse Samim, meaning if the father said Tanu, the halach is not like Rava, who's Mechalik between the case where the guy said Mana or Sadazu and the guy saying Mana or Sadastam, but rather Mukminin Apotropos. We always put an apotropos in place. To Amri Nardai, Bekulin is Kakan Amidin apotropos. Levad mi nimtzei sada she'in shalom. The Achzuk is Sadim Shakri l'mecheskinon. That in all cases we establish an apotropos, unless we have Edim that said that this field did not belong to their father, because we would not be machzik sahadi shakri. We assume that. the Eidim that said it, then that is the absolute truth. We do not question Eidim. So we will stop there, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up at the top of the daf next time.